Caden, again, I want to say thank you for sharing. It was great. It's always good when I, who speak a lot at church, listen closely to someone else that I'm fed. So yeah, that was really important to me on this day, so thank you. Just a good reminder, today again, we don't have to take the chairs down. So I probably will forget at the end, but it's a nice gift to us, and so we're not taking the chairs and the tables down at the end of the service today. Let's pray together. God, it is good to be here together. Thank you that you invite us to come to be together, to share life, to share celebrations, to share milestones, to warmly welcome each other, to carry one another's burdens, to listen to the stories of each other's lives as we listen to your story for our lives. God, thank you that as we sing words, we're singing, "Call me deeper." We're singing, "Holy, holy to the name of God." And so may we bring this spirit of awe and reverence and of desire to know you further into our listening this morning. Thank you that you are here with us. Amen. So I have told this story before, but I think it is worth telling again because it really fits in with the day. So about 15 years ago, our family of four went to Quebec for a summer vacation. And on a really sunny, warm day, where the waters were calm, we climbed into a whale-watching boat, and we were really, really, really full of excitement about seeing some whales that day. Really excited. And as we started the journey on these calm waters, the boat captain said, "The whales have not been really active today, so we might not see any, but we will enjoy the beauty all around us." And so, though the trip started out in really lovely calm water, our expectations really changed because we were really, really hopeful to see a whale, not just the beautiful surroundings. But we settled in, and it was beautiful. And then within about 15 minutes, our captain, full of excitement, announced that a whale had been sighted. And if you've ever been whale watching, what we did is the captain takes off and you go and chase this whale with a bunch of other boats as well. And so off we went, and we saw a whale. And wow, what an experience. The beauty, the majesty of this creature created by God. But we didn't only see one whale that day. We saw about eight whales. And one time we saw, like, the whole whale. Sometimes you just see a whale tail, and that was enough. But once we saw this whole whale arching over the water, and it was thrilling. So the captain would zip the boat here and there, and the whales came up, and we shouted with the other people on the boat, and we were thrilled. And up until that point, the day was really going awesome. The sky was blue, and the water was calm. And then, out of nowhere, the sky turned gray, a strong wind picked up, and the water became choppy, and then even choppier. And in my understanding and imagination, I heard our captain say, "Hang on tight, we're going to try to beat this storm." And off we went to try to beat this storm. And it seemed to me that we're hitting every single wave, that we're being bounced back and forth in this boat, along with about 15 other people. And I was terrified. Like, I mean, I was really, really, really scared. And I was quite certain that our boat was going to flip. I just didn't think we were going to make it through this. And all that I could think about was my fear. And then our daughter, Mallory, who was sitting close to me, she leaned over, and with her eyes full of worry, she said to me, "I think we're going to die." And I said to her in a very good mom way, "I think we are too." That's how frightened I was. And now when I read the biblical stories of Jesus' disciples caught in wild storms on the Sea of Galilee, I am taken back to this boat tossing in the wind and the waves of the St. Lawrence River. And I can know that fear that grew strong within the disciples. Speaker Joan Kelly says, "I have always loved the idea that our personal story can become what I would call sacred curriculum that helps us shape how we live and how we see and how we grow in our faith. In the stories of Scripture, we can find our own stories when we bring our lives to the biblical story and the biblical story to our lives The two merge together. In one way, I bring the biblical story to my life, reminding me of my experience in the choppy St. Lawrence River and of the disciples, is through a piece of art that I have that's hanging in a place where I can see it often. And on it are the words of Psalm 107. He calmed the storm to a whisper, and he stilled the waves. The psalmist wrote this far before Jesus and the disciples were out on that wavy, stormy sea. So the psalmist knew he calmed the storm to a whisper, and he stilled the waves. In this verse, my life story merges with a biblical truth, and I find hope. Not only in physical storms, because I think if I was out on a boat in choppy water, I would probably still be very scared, but I take this verse with me into the storms of life. He calms the storm to a whisper, and he stills the wave. And I let that come into my journey. I wonder how you can see yourself, or we as a faith community can see ourselves, how other people and situations see these verses as we follow two stories of Jesus and the disciples on their journeys in some really wild and windy and wavy waters. So Cade read from Matthew 14 this morning, and I'm going to talk about that story a little bit today, but what is so cool, and Cade and I did not talk about this, is I'm also going to reference a story that you read about, Caden, this morning. So I really love sitting in a morning where it just feels like God brings things into alignment. So before the wind and the waves, we're going to go back to a little bit to what Caden read in the beginning of Matthew 14. So before making this miraculous appearance on the wavy waters, Jesus had received news that his cousin John the Baptist had been killed by Herod in a most horrible way. Jesus had just received this news. And scripture says when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. So here Jesus got onto a boat and he went away by himself to a quiet place. The boat took Jesus away from the storm that was a very, very horrible news. We don't know, but we can assume that Jesus went to weep by himself, that he went to question, that he went to pray, that he went to grieve the loss of a cousin who was also a friend. Jesus had just lost this person dear to him in the worst of ways. And when he returned from his time of being set apart, there were crowds ready to greet him on the shore. So we've got to imagine this. He's heard horrible news, which is a storm. He's gone to a place of quiet for himself. And as soon as he re-enters, there is a crowd of people there asking for him to help them. And he has compassion on them because that is who Jesus is. When Jesus engages with us, he comes full of compassion. And he went to work healing people right away. And as Cade read, by evening, the exhausted disciples told Jesus to send the crowd away to get food. They're saying, please, be on your way. But Jesus tells them, no, we can feed them. And so with 5 loaves and 2 fish, the disciples gathered up. Jesus blesses the bread and the fish, and they fed the multitudes, and there was food left. Kind of another miracle on this day. And Jesus will do this miraculous feeding of another crowd further on in Matthew. This is the work of Jesus. So we know that Jesus and his disciples had had a full and emotional day. Scripture says they were exhausted. So Jesus was exhausted through grief and through the work of healing others and giving out compassion and miracles. And the disciples were tired from being there and being asked to give food to 5,000 people in a way that they had no idea how to do it. And so they were fatigued. And so Jesus then tells his disciples, who are his friends, to get into a boat and to go to the other side. I think he probably saw that they were tired. Just like in his grief, he said, let me get in a boat and go to a quiet place. Now he says to them, you go and get some rest. But Jesus himself stayed back and he just does the ending, maybe the goodbyes, maybe some cleaning up with the crowds before Jesus himself goes up now to the mountain for a quiet place to pray. So Jesus is on land and the disciples are on the sea. Everyone is tired and everyone is hopeful for some rest. But out on the sea, the disciples run into trouble. There was a strong headwind, and their boat, it talks about being battered by waves. The waves were pounding against this boat, and it just was like a violent storm. And it is really, really common in the Sea of Galilee for a sudden, violent storm to come up. And so the disciples who were experienced fishermen, they would have experienced these kind of storms, or the scripture calls them squalls. They would have known this. This was familiar to them. But this one seemed big. There's also another story in Mark 4 where another storm comes unexpectedly on the Sea of Galilee, and the disciples are out in a boat, but this time Jesus is with them in the boat. In Matthew 14, Jesus is on the land. In Mark 4, Jesus is in the boat. And in both situations, the storm comes up suddenly. And this is how Mark describes the disciples' encounters with the storm. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side. Let us," versus "you go and I'll meet you there. Let us go to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern of the boat sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Jesus, don't you care if we drown?" The disciples were full of fear as the wind and the waves bashed against this boat. So we can conclude from this that the disciples knew what it meant to be afraid, and they knew what it meant to be afraid of the storms. And they were so afraid that they were wondering if they might die, which takes me back to the St. Lawrence River. I understand their fear. In ancient times, the sea represented chaos. It was untamed and it was terrifying, and people believed that only God had power over the sea. And here in the boat, the disciples are with the Son of God, yet there is no indication that he is going to do anything about the storm or about protecting their lives. What I think is really important that we note is that Jesus was not panicked by the storm. He is resting. The waves and the winds do not worry Jesus. And it is not the sound of the storm that awakens Jesus. It is the sound of the disciples' voices. It is the sound of his friends' voices, of their expression of fear and concern that they bring to him. He hears their voices, and he hears their fear. And Jesus stands up, and he speaks to the storm, and he says, "Peace, be still." And then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. The wind and the waves obeyed Jesus, just as written in Psalm 107, he calmed the storm to a whisper and stilled the waves. We're going to go back to Matthew 14, which Cade read this morning, where the disciples are in the boat when a wild storm hits. But in this storm, remember, Jesus is not in the boat. He is on land praying. And the disciples, they cannot see him. And it doesn't say that the disciples were afraid of the wind and the waves of this storm. It just says they were really battling hard against this storm that came up suddenly. But they do experience fear in this story. But the fear comes when they see something completely unexpected, something very, very unusual in the distance. And as they look into the darkness and as they're trying to see over the really high waves, they glimpse what they think is a ghost, a very, very scary figure coming towards them. And this is when they cry out in terror. Now they are afraid, the wind and the waves and what appears like a ghost. And again, as in Mark 4, Jesus hears their cries over the howling winds and the crashing waves, and he immediately shouts to them, and he says, "Take heart, have courage, it's me. Don't be afraid. It's me," he says to them over the pounding waves. And courage, it comes from the Latin word cor, which means heart. So courage has to do with our heart. Jesus is saying, have heart. Look into your heart. Take heart. It's me. I am with you. It's me. How often in the storms of life do we need to hear Jesus say, it's me. I am here. Try not to be afraid. In Matthew 14, the wind actually doesn't die down when Jesus speaks to them, and their trip doesn't suddenly get easier. But Jesus was now with them. He is in close proximity. He has left the land, and he invites them to try not to be afraid. Author Debbie Thomas says, "The wildness of the sea is no proof of God's absence. The wildness of the sea is no proof of God's absence." In both of these stories, the disciples are caught in the midst of a storm, and they're caught in fear, and Jesus hears their voices over the sound of the storm, and he acts on their behalf. He speaks to the storm, and he speaks to their hearts. Peace, be still, take heart, don't be afraid. Why? Because it is me. Jesus reminds them that he is with them. In the storms, in their fears, the disciples grow a deeper understanding and image of Jesus. They allow for their view of him to expand. The disciples ask each other in awe, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him? Who is this?" And they are filled with awe. On the other boat, Peter yells out, "Really? Is it really you? Lord, if it is really you, command me to come to you on the water." I'm just going to pause for a second because I love that Caden shared this morning that he took to prayer a request to God to provide something for him. This is what Peter is doing. Provide me with something that will help my belief in my unbelief. And Cade notes Chris's prayer met with his life and a provision is given. And this is what happens in Peter's story. Peter calls out for a provision from Jesus, and he is provided. His need is met. So Peter is really saying, in the midst of this storm, Jesus, is it really you? I wonder if you join me in asking those questions sometimes. Jesus, is it really you? Is it really you who is saying, it's me? Don't be afraid, take heart, peace, be still. And so here again, we can see where our life stories merge with the stories of Scripture. There is faith, and there is doubt. There is patience, and there is eagerness. There is courage, and there is fear. There is walking, and there is sinking. There is vulnerability, and there is safety. And hopefully we can see ourselves in all of these areas. And so again, Jesus responding to the voice of his disciple, responding to the voice of his friend, Jesus comes and he calls to Peter. So Peter climbs out of the boat and he starts towards Jesus, even as Jesus continues to walk to the boat. This is something new I've been thinking about this week, is as Peter starts walking to Jesus, Jesus doesn't stop and say, I'll meet you here. Jesus keeps walking towards Peter. And so now their stories are walking towards each other. And it's okay for Peter for those first few steps. But then Peter becomes frightened. It makes a lot of sense to me. Who wouldn't become frightened? And he starts sinking down in the water. And he's crying out. And he just implores Jesus. And he says, Lord, save me. And immediately, Jesus does. When Jesus is sleeping in the boat on the stormy night and the disciples say, don't you care? Immediately, he calms the storm. Here, when Peter is saying, Lord, save me, immediately Jesus does. And Jesus reaches out his hand and he pulls him up. Jesus holds on to Peter. But the wind doesn't stop. The waves still splash high against them, and it is still dark. But Jesus has Peter. They are together. Because the wildness of the sea is no proof of God's absence. And Jesus says again, don't be afraid. It is me. And Jesus and Peter continue to walk towards the boat. Jesus is walking towards those that he loves. And now Peter, we think, is walking with him. And they reach the boat and they climb in. And then, when they're all together, the wind stops. The sea is calm. And unlike the earlier story, when Jesus calmed the wind with his voice, the disciples don't respond with confusion, but they respond with a proclamation, truly, you are the Son of God. And they worship Jesus. And their faith expands, and their faith grows, and their faith changes. And even perhaps in the darkness, when we or when they are most lost or most disoriented or afraid or overwhelmed, and we can't go anywhere, we realize that Jesus comes towards us and that he brings with him his presence and he brings with him this message that I am with you. Have courage. It's me. The wildness of the sea is no proof of God's absence. I believe that this story invites us, that it challenges us, that it encourages us to listen to hear Jesus' voice in the midst of what we are naming as storms in our lives. That we are invited to hear him say to us, it's me. That we are invited to believe with all of our faith that Jesus comes towards us in the wildness of the wind and the waves. And he says to us, take heart, don't be afraid, it's me, and I am with you. I know, and maybe you do too, that it is very easy to become overwhelmed by the darkness and by the wind and by the waves. But in faith, may we remember that the wildness of the sea is no proof of God's absence, that he is there, walking towards us, saying, it is me, don't be afraid. Let's pray together. Benediction, and I hope after the service you'll enjoy some refreshment time together, and if you would like prayer, please come forward. So I invite you to put your hand on your heart, and I'll say it. I'm going to say, be still and know that I am God. I invite us, we're going to repeat this together, just as a reminder that in storms, in challenges, in times of wondering, that we can say, be still and know that I am God. So be still and know that I am God. Let's take a deep breath and let's say it again together. Be still and know that I am God. Go in God's peace this week. Amen.